Fear not the pain. Let its weight fall back into the earth. For heavy are the mountains, heavy are the sea.
The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
So here is something to ponder. Jesus imagines that we can be much more than we think we can be. Jesus, who is always helping people see things they cannot see, he sees things about us that we cannot see. We find out today that he really believes that we can be followers of his in a very radical way. This isn't the power of positive thinking at work. It is really what he believes. Now, what I found out after over 30 years of ordained ministry is that many people are raised in the faith in a way that suggests that they were born in sin, that they are incapable really of doing anything. They're always making mistakes, whether or not God created them in the image of God, they are very depraved. And therefore, the theology in that worldview is that, of course, Christ came into this world to atone, be the sacrifice for our sins, that in light of just how dreadful we are, we will then end up in a nice place after we die. But this has nothing to do, quite honestly, with the Bible, and nothing to do with what we find out in Luke. What Jesus imagines today in this passage from Luke is that you and I can do what he is doing. He says, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That is, he's going to the center of power and he's going to meet resistance. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for his arrival. He has the imagination that we could go with him into hostile territory. The Samaritans and Jews just don't get along. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. He believes we can make this journey with him. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" James and John think that the only answer to the problem is somehow to destroy the enemy. But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." All of this is Jesus' way of saying to us, you could do this. It all sounds rather outlandish to us. Would we really leave Dad without a burial? But don't you see, what he's trying to get us to see is that we are capable of such commitment. Because I think what Jesus knows is that these disciples of his aren't really sure that they can make this journey with him. And of course, we find out in the end that they don't get it. But you cannot become what you can't see. So what he's saying early on in this journey to Jerusalem is, listen, I think you can do this. You know, coaches know this. They know that the only way that their players will get better is if they believe in them. You know, a baseball coach doesn't go to the pitcher and say, "Boy, you know, you're really no good, and I don't even know why we're putting you out there today, and you're probably going to get hit all around the ballpark." You know, the coach goes and says, "Listen, you know how to do this. You've got the pitches. Believe in yourself." This is what Jesus is doing today. Now, you might say, "Well, Roger, that's naive. They didn't have the ability to do this. Is this just the power of positive thinking?" Well, this brings us to our next point. First point is that Jesus can imagine more for us than we can imagine for ourselves. The second point is this is only possible because of, guess what? The Holy Spirit. In Luke's gospel, more than any other gospel, we just continually hear about prayer in a way that we don't hear about it in the other gospels. They all, of course, have a Jesus who talks about prayer. But in Luke, guess what? At Jesus' baptism, he was praying. The other gospels don't say this. We then find that Jesus withdraws to a deserted place to do what? Pray. He prays before choosing the 12 apostles. We don't find that in the other gospels. He prays before asking his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Maybe he wants to be spiritually prepared for what they say. He prays on the Mountain of Transfiguration. Again, this is not found in the other Gospels. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find out that Jesus is praying and mentioning prayer the entire time. Here's what he says. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Further on it says, when he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief, and he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. What the Jesus in Luke's gospel knows is that his own ministry and the ministry of his apostles is all made possible by prayer, by listening for the Spirit. He and they cannot do this on their own. What is truly remarkable in Luke Acts, remember Luke and Acts are all one book, is that what we slowly find out in Luke and Acts is that the early church that we hear about in Acts is, guess what? It is the presence of Jesus in this world. Yes, Jesus has died and been raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, but when the Spirit comes down upon those first apostles on Pentecost, what the Spirit gives them the ability to do is to be Him in the world. Wrap your mind around that. And wrap your mind around the fact that what that then means is you and I, here in Anderson Township or wherever you're listening from, we have the ability as a community to be the body of Christ in this world. We are not heirs of that bad theology as, oh, we could never do anything. And really what life is about is just learning how depraved we are so that we'll finally realize we need to be saved. No. The journey is so much more than that. If we could simply imagine what Jesus imagines. You know, in the coming year, we're going to be talking about a 70th anniversary of St. Timothy's. And there'll be some sort of a party, and I'll talk about this a lot between now and then. There'll be some party. The 70th anniversary is on Palm Sunday. Whether we'll have it on Palm Sunday or not is another story. But between now and then, this is the main event, between now and then, we are going to be praying and reflecting on what do we need to do to lay the groundwork for the future mission of this church. And I think what we're going to find is what we find out in the Acts of the Apostles and what runs through Luke. It's what we say in our baptismal covenant. You know, in chapter, 2, 4 of Acts, can't remember right now. There's a summary of what the early church is doing, and it says they continued in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, that the groundwork is continuing to hear God's word, which helps us to imagine, and we need to be part of a community. We cannot go this alone. To continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, namely breaking bread around this altar, remembering Jesus, but breaking bread with other members of the community and anybody else that wants to join along the way. To continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and guess what? The prayers. These are fundamental to the mission of the church at any moment in time. If we are not reading God's word, we don't have eyes to see. This is what happens every Sunday. This is what happens today. We're given eyes to see. If we don't realize we're part of a fellowship, we try to go it alone, and that's a recipe for disaster. If we're not breaking bread around this table and remembering whose we are and who feeds us, the mission will fall apart, and the prayers. That day in, day out, we're trusting that the Spirit of God is here and available. And it is that Spirit that sustained Jesus all the way along in Luke. That's why Luke keeps mentioning this. He mentions it because he wants us to see this is what sustained Jesus, and this is what will sustain you as you are trying to be Jesus' presence in the world. As it turns out, on Sunday, July 13th, 1 to 4 in the afternoon, we're going to have a workshop on prayer, led by a retired professor from Xavier, who's going to be talking with us about Ignatian spirituality. Ignatian spirituality is all about listening for the Spirit. Founded by Ignatius of Loyola, we think of him as the founder of the Jesuits. It is all about listening to what the Spirit is already doing in our life. Now, this is what Jesus was trying to get these disciples. See, there's already a power working in you that, guess what, can do infinitely more than you could ask or imagine. You don't believe this yet. The Spirit is going to convince you of this. So I encourage you to put that on your calendar, Sunday, July 13th, 1 to 4, and begin a journey in prayer. You know, it's very interesting. Right now in this congregation, we've never had as many groups of people who are gathering together to pray regularly. There is the prayer vigil on Monday nights that began with the invasion of Ukraine. They've been doing this since the invasion of Ukraine, every Monday night. There's the early morning, Tuesday morning men's prayer group that's been doing this for, gosh, I don't know, 20 years. There's a Wednesday evening group at 4:30 in the afternoon that prays for peace. Something is up, and I think it is an awareness that in a very difficult time, we need prayer. We need to know that in the end, all we're going to be able to do in this life is if we know that we have within us this power that can do more than we could ask or imagine. Jesus imagines that we can be much more than we think we can be. He imagines that we can follow him all the way to Jerusalem, that we can go through enemy territory. And he's inviting us to own that and to see how glorious that will be. And that in the Gospel of Luke and in the Acts of the Apostles, this is what it means to be free. At the end of Acts, what we find out that Paul was free and unhindered. He had found the freedom of the gospel of God. Let's be free.
An Echo from the Well is a podcast of St. Timothy's Episcopal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you would like to learn more, visit sttimothys.com.